And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of The Higher Dimension with your hostess, Phyllis Pricer. Of course, I'm Phyllis Pricer, presented by BBSRadio.com, a wonderful internet provider, which is a wonderful radio show for body, mind, and spirit. And tonight's guest with us is Dennis Spaulding. Mr. Spaulding sent me his book to reach. I'll give a little bit about you so they know who you are, Dennis, if you don't mind.
That sounds real good, Phyllis.
Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you. Good evening to you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so delighted to have you as my guest. Mr. Spaulding contacted me a little while ago, and he is working to help people understand that there is life after death. His son, Sean, died in 1993 in an accident, and this sent him on a spiritual search for many years, and he has a culmination of notes and journals that he kept from his son's death. And since Mr. Spaulding works with numbers a great deal, for those of you of left-minded persuasion and mathematical bent, he has devised, or he and his son have devised, a way of communication through numbers. Does that kind of make it? Does that kind of say what it is, Mr. Spaulding?
You're doing pretty well, Phyllis.
Okay.
You're going in the right direction.
I'm a registering person, yes. And I wanted to let you know, too, there's something I wanted to share with you, okay?
Okay.
Before we get into your son, but 7 years ago, I lost my mother. She had a massive heart attack and died without warning. We didn't know she had any heart problems. And she died on the floor of my kitchen. She died in my arms in about 20, 25 minutes after her heart attack without regaining consciousness, which was a real, real shock, as you can imagine. She was, you know, 87 and a half, but she was in good health. And through that time, I went through a great deal of grief because I didn't get time to really say goodbye except with holding her in my arms and talking to her and letting her spirit know she could go without kindness. But there was something that my mother and I always had fun with, and there is a lily, a bulbs, you know, lilies come from bulbs, or resines, as they might be called, and there's one called the Naked Lady, and my mother and I would see them in July or August driving along the side of the road, and they're cultivated, and we'd always get a kick out of saying Naked Lady. Well, one year my daughter's boyfriend was driving with us, and he was driving the car, and all of a sudden my mother burst out, "Oh, look at the naked ladies." And I said, "Oh, yes, aren't they wonderful?" And my daughter's chiming in. That poor boy's head, I think, went a 360-degree swivel, trying to find naked ladies hanging around the side of the road. And boy, was he one unhappy camper when he found out we were talking about lilies. Well, 2 years ago, in my back garden here, as I was in a very unhappy state, I asked for a kind of a proof that things were going to be okay. And when I looked in the back garden in a corner, I saw a naked lady growing.
Oh,
now,
you're
I had
kidding.
Not planted it there.
I'll
all right?
Be darned.
It just bloomed. And I was absolutely stunned. Last year, it didn't show up. But you know, I went out today. Do you know what I found in my garden?
A naked lady.
Naked ladies. And not side by side as the bulbs would normally grow together, but on either side of a little garden. And each one had two stalks, not just the one stalk that's usually four each one. This one had two stalks each. So my mother was saying to me, "Oh, yeah, there's life after death and things are going to be just fine." And I thought I would share that with you. It's not numbers, but it's another sign that we do get spoken to by those who love us on the other side and with a great deal of humor and warmth.
And all you have to do is recognize their signs to have that.
Exactly.
It's such a great feeling when you receive that, just like you today. Wow.
It
just lifts your spirits. And if you're able to recognize the signs that they're trying to communicate with you, your life changes dramatically.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's beautiful. I love it. I mean, ever since this happened to me.
Perfect prelude to coming into our conversation today, because you work with numbers, and I want you to give a little bit about your history and background. And people, you know, you can call in and you can add your own stories if you like to this, because he is here and I'm here to say that we are all one, that there is no death, that we simply pass through to another portal, another side, and we continue to grow and become more beautiful and more more angelic, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, with
That's
the world.
That's a good word.
The number you can call in is 877-876-5227. Now, go ahead with your story, Dennis, and I'll start and ask questions when we need to, but God bless you. Keep going.
Okay, thank you.
Tell us about Sean and your story.
Sounds good. Just so everybody knows, I am not a medium, and I don't profess to be a medium. I am a bereaved father that lost a son in 1993. Now, my history, right out of high school, I went right into the Marine Corps. After about 7 days, I went down to the island of Trinidad, and that's where I met Sean's mother. I was down there for about almost 2 years. Military would not allow us to marry down there. So we came back to the States, and we married then. I was still kind of young. She was about 5 years older than I was. So I was a teenager when I married Sean's mom. And this is important because when Sean died, I had been divorced from his mom for quite a few years. After I got out of the Marine Corps, I was sent around the country, different places in Trinidad, and I was on an overseas Mediterranean cruise across country in the over in the Mediterranean. So I've seen a lot in my life. After I got out of the military, I went to work for United Airlines. Once again, a lot more travel. From United Airlines, I became an air traffic controller for the United States government. And I served in various cities in the United States. I was overseas in the South Pacific in Pago Pago, American Samoa. And after that, I was transferred back to Klamath Falls, Oregon. And was there in Klamath Falls, Oregon in 1993 when I had received the word from his mother that Sean had died. And what had happened, I was just sitting in my living room. And I had just talked with Sean probably 3 days earlier. We were both supposed to go to the doctor on this day, and he was going for high blood pressure, and I was going for my diabetes. The week prior to that, he had experienced his first hurricane down in Miami, Florida. Sean was a motivated person since I saw him basically during the summer times because I was so far away. When I was close to him, I had him every weekend. We were always together. We always communicated.
Right.
And my wife has brought up since that we communicated so much while Sean was alive. Why should it stop now that he's dead? And that was something that made me think. I go, wow, that's correct. Well,
right.
Sean worked his way through the University of Alabama. And he was hired his senior year to a company called Motions Industry out of Miami, Florida. And he went through a 19-month training program with his company. And a month after being out of the training program, he had his company car. And evidently, he got in a fight with his girlfriend.
Oh, dear.
But he was on his way back in the direction of his girlfriend's apartment when the accident happened. It was a high-speed crash right off the freeway, single car right in the concrete pillar of a bridge.
Oh.
Killed him instantly.
Oh, dear.
And naturally, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, suicide and stuff like that. I said, no, you don't know my son. You know, my son was out to help people. He had his whole life ahead of him.
Right.
And since the accident, I've learned so much that, you know, he has come back so many times through mediums that I've talked with and said, no, Dad, it was an accident.
Right.
You know, some have said he fell asleep. Some said he fell asleep. A tire blew. Different situations like that.
Yeah.
On the day... When I got the news, I was sitting there. My mom was sitting right across from me, and my wife is in the bedroom doing something. The phone rings. And Sean's mom has a very distinct voice, being from the island of Trinidad. And
right.
So having not talked with her in over 10 years or something, I get on the phone. I answer it. I hear her voice, and my little wheels are turning like, okay, what's going on? Why is she calling? And she says, Dennis. Now she says in her accent, I go, yes. She says, I just called to tell you Sean's dead. Just like that. No warning, no nothing. And if you've never lost a child before, you don't know what that feeling is like. I mean, it feels like somebody reached in and pulled your heart right out from you, just yanked it out.
I can understand.
The ground opened, the world swallowed you up, and you just dropped into this dark pit. You're sitting there, you're like that, and you're just stunned. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. Tears are just coming. You're shouting. You're yelling. Well, my wife and my mother at the time... You know, my wife runs to the phone because my mom says something about Sean, and then she collected all the rest of the information that we needed to know and other information about funeral things that
right,
were set in motion.
Right.
Finally, they reached through to me and trying to say, listen, you, you know, we understand, but you've got three other kids coming. Sean's younger brother, Travis, 11 years younger, was going to be walking through that door within an hour. Now, here I have to tell this little boy, the idol of his life is no longer with us. I got to call his sister living in Salem, tell her that news. So they're trying to get me together. Long story short, it took 4 years for me to come out to even want to talk about this story at all.
I can understand that.
People would want to talk things. I said, no. Or my daughter said, well, what if it's suicide, Dad? How about if we call the police? I says, no, nothing is going to bring your brother back. He is dead. He is gone.
Right.
Now, all through my life, I've been through various religions. When I was young, I started out Methodist. High school, went to the Baptist.
Right.
Helped out at summer camps, different things like that.
Right.
Married in a Lutheran church, married in a Catholic church, studied Catholicism, different things like that. But when I lost my son, I never got an answer from the church that could answer my question. And I was always one of these religious people that I listened to who was talking, but I didn't have tunnel vision on that was gospel. I always questioned. I always felt there was another world going on around me when I was little. Maybe I couldn't see it. It's going too fast. It's going too slow. But I knew there was something else going on.
Right.
Well, after I came out of this 4 to 5 year, little closet I put my mind in, I started thinking, you know, maybe it's possible I could find my son in the afterlife, because I really believe there's something after you die.
Of course.
And my two best friends became the bookstores,
right,
and the library. I started reading everything on spirituality, and there was a guest on Montel Williams' show at the time called, and her name was Sylvia Brown, very well-known psychic.
I
read all of her books, studied all of her meditation techniques, whatever I could, that would help me. I, knowing now what I was doing for those years that I studied, I was developing my psychic and spiritual awareness to be alert to signs and whatever that go on around me in regards to life, hoping to find my son, whatever. But that was my development stage for almost 4-5 years, possibly. One of my coworkers then, years later, she said, you know, there's a new gentleman coming on TV. His name is John Edward. He's a new medium. You ought to watch him. I said, no. I said, I've been with Sylvia Brown for so long, and I didn't stray. I just had my tunnel vision set with Sylvia, and this was the way I was going to find my son and connect with him.
I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Well, one night, I was sitting there channel surfing before going to bed. My wife was in the kitchen finishing up something. And all of a sudden, I see this program, John Edward, crossing over. I started watching for a second, and I was mesmerized. I yelled for my wife to come in and watch this gentleman. And I was just awed. I felt this was the way I am going to find my son. I was at a psychic crossroad. And in the book, I think it's chapter 3, it's something like, Hello, John. Goodbye, Sylvia. That's when I was saying, not saying that Sylvia is bad, but their techniques are totally different in their own way.
Right.
But I felt Mr. Edward, his way of doing it is a way I'm going to contact my son.
And
so
during all of this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Most of my contact with my son, so the people know, is
that you could contact your son directly, that you didn't need anybody else to help the space for you?
No. I knew I needed help, but I knew it's a spiritual way on all of the books and things that I read.
Right.
And my contact with my son basically comes intuitively. In other words, I get this feeling where I know he's around. I can just sense that.
Okay.
But the intuitive feeling where I feel the strong pull to do something, to find out something. And so I started reading all of Mr. Edwards' books on everything.
Right.
And one book that he recommended was called the Afterlife Experiments.
Right.
This was a book done by two professors at the University of Arizona to prove that the afterlife exists.
Yep.
And they had to triplicate everything to make sure that what they wrote and what they printed was the truth, because they know a lot of people were going to question, you know, their experiments.
Yep.
So they knew they had to use the top psychics and mediums in the world to pull this off.
Right.
And they chose John Edward,
right,
Suzanne Northrup, George Anderson, and Laurie Campbell.
Right.
And when I read that book, that just made me realize, and after watching John Edward on TV, how much I wanted a reading, how much I wanted to be at a seminar, how much I wanted a one-on-one reading for somebody to connect with my son.
Okay.
Well, after reading the book, it was about a week later, I was drawn to the book again. I was sitting at work, I was on a break, and I just had this inclination to pick up the book and go to the back. I went to the back, and I saw websites for all of the mediums that were in the experiment, and I was drawn to Suzanne Northrup's website. And before I know it, my hand's already clicking on the thing on the computer, and there's your website coming up, and I'm drawn to the calendar. Well, she's coming to Seattle. I live in Seattle, Washington, in 3 months. She's going to be doing a seminar in Seattle in 3 months. And like I said before, my hands are already dialing the number to order tickets before my brain realizes what's going on.
Okay.
Well, I've got the tickets in hand, and I'm excited. I want to go home to tell my wife, hey, we're going to be going to a seminar. We're going to be something like the John Edwards stuff. Now, John Edwards, when we watched him, all he had on television in New York were the gallery readings out of his studio.
Right.
So we never saw a seminar. We just saw the gallery. We saw one-on-one readings and phone readings.
Right.
So, I mean, common sense would tell somebody what a seminar is, but when you're dealing in the psychic world and things like that, anything's possible. So I had questions. I sat there that night wondering, God, what am I supposed to do to get a reading? Am I supposed to ask her a question? Am I supposed to sit in the front row? Am I supposed to do something just to get her attention? I was tossing and turning all night. I was just so excited, couldn't wait for the 3 months. The very next day when I was at work, I went down on my break. It was about 11 o'clock in the morning. And I remember my cohort telling me that John Edwards has a show or a repeat show that comes on at this time. So I flipped on the television, and there was one of his shows. And he starts out like he normally does, but he did something different. He says, ladies and gentlemen, today on our show we're going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to take you back to Salt Lake City to one of my seminars and tell you how you can get a reading at a seminar, what you need to do. He answered every question I had in my head the night before.
Fabulous.
My jaw dropped open. I went up and told the girl that had told me about him. I says, you're not going to believe this. So I knew something was going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So as we fast forward and Suzanne Northrup comes to town, I'm gearing up for her seminar reading on a Monday. And I gathered a book that I wrote with all the names of my loved ones, so I could carry that with me, and their thoughts would be in my head when I go to this seminar. And if they possibly came through, I would hopefully recognize them to be able, like John Edwards always said, you might be a messenger. It may not be your loved ones coming. It might be for somebody else through you because you know them. So, you know, prepare for that, which I did.
Let's go back to this book. This is the first time you've mentioned it. I know I read it about it. But you said you had written a book, okay?
Right.
With people's names in it.
I'm sorry, what?
You want to tell our audience about that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
I said you were talking about the book that you wanted to take with you with people's names in it.
Right.
That had died. You did not tell our audience about that. So they're not aware that you had, at some point, written down the names of people that you knew were died to write in memory, to keep their memories alive or something?
Right. Basically, that was not my book at the time. I had not thought about the book. I was just taking notes at this time and stuff. But this, because of all of my reading and all the stuff that I heard from John Edwards on television and stuff like that, I wanted to gather my loved ones, the name of my loved ones, that possibly might come through. And I carried that every time I went to a seminar, all the names. If I knew somebody else around me, a friend or something passed away, I would add their name and carry it with me just as support for myself and also to keep recognizing if a medium said something about a person, I could look and say, oh, yeah, I've got this from my grandfather. He was a conductor on the radio. That might be him. It would just get my thoughts going.
Okay, well, and sometimes, now I don't know how knowledgeable all of my audience is, but let me explain this. When there is a medium, if you've not watched somebody who's a medium, there's a group of people. It can be in an audience or it can be in a private sitting or just a small group of a few people. And the medium will sometimes go into trance, sometimes not necessary, but usually. And they will start getting messages from beyond the veil, from those who are no longer with us. And so it's always good when you go to listen to someone or hear someone in as he's mentioning, to take along the names of people that you would want to hear from and have some knowledge of the people so that if the media throws out a name and some particulars or details, that you can recognize what it is. And this is what he's talking about. He wanted to go prepared to this and take information with him so that if information was directed at him, he'd be better prepared and wouldn't be caught flat-footed, so to speak. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay,
perfectly
then
said.
Let's continue on, all right?
Okay, so now, a week before her seminar, once again, I feel this pull.
Uh-huh.
I'm supposed to go on the computer again. I pull up Suzanne's website. I'm going, okay, and I'm back to the calendar again. Well, since my previous visit to that, they have now added she's coming to town a week early. The week now that I'm on the computer right now, this week, she's going to be in town in Seattle to do a television show and a couple radio shows.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I can tape these shows for my wife because she's at work during those times where she can't watch how Suzanne would work, like on the television show or even the radio show. You can hear how she works, how she talks with people, how she connects. You can hear what her voice is like. So we will be well prepared the following week on Monday when we go to the seminar. Well, on the day of the phone reading, I've got the tape in, and this is where my numbers theory begins, where I talk about my number theory, how it validates various things.
Okay.
My number theory, so people know, is based on when Sean died, which is 3/14/93, and when he was born, 9/24/68.
Right.
And there's a couple special numbers. There's a 29, and there's a number 39. Now, the 29 is appropriate because the very last time I saw him, we were at his sister's 21st birthday party in Reno, Nevada, and my son and I played roulette constantly and the number 29 together. So that's a very important number, and it even came up a little bit after this discussion right now, which I'll tell people. The other number was 39 is important because his name, Sean, S-E-A-N, totals 39 in the alphabet placement.
Okay.
You got the S's, 19, so on and so forth.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Well, now, all of a sudden, I got the tape in, and I hear the disc jockey coming on, and he says, Suzanne's going to be with us in about 10 minutes. If anybody's lost a loved one, now's your chance. Maybe you'll connect. Here's a number. Once again, there go my fingers, dialing that number before my brain catches up, realizing what's going on.
Okay.
The phone rings. The guy answers, like I'm meant to get through. And he says, have you lost a loved one? And I go, yes. I said, you want his name? He said, no. Wait till Suzanne comes on the air and calls your name and start talking. I says, okay. So I was on hold for 25 minutes.
Wow.
And I'm an air traffic controller. That's what you were talking about before. So I work with numbers quite a lot as an air traffic controller. I did that for about 22 years with the government, and I'm still doing it right now with a contract company. I've been doing it almost 31 years now, and I'm really almost set to totally retire. However, when she came on and said, hi, Dennis, who do you want to talk to? And I said, my son. I wrote down at the same time, I looked at the clocks all around me. And it was, if people want to write this down to follow along, it was 8:36/24-9, which was another way of saying 8:36. It was 24 minutes to 9.
Uh-huh.
Well, she connected with my son. It was a five-minute reading because the disc jockey wanted other people to get a chance. And so she made some errors. A couple of things, like she said, okay, you must have done a lot of fishing with your son because he's showing me a fishing pole. You know, and to me, no, we never went fishing. We went skiing, and first time I took him, he broke his leg. But so I'm thinking, well,
okay,
that was close, but I could forgive her because she was hitting on a lot of other stuff.
Okay, can you
look
at some of the things that were positive that she hit on?
Oh, yeah, definitely. There was a lot of positive stuff. But as my story went on, I realized that these were not misses at all. When a medium is talking with a son, like my son, that wanted to connect with his father, she doesn't know I'm divorced from Sean's mother.
Right.
And his mother is remarried and has a son just like I did. I was remarried, and we had Travis, a son the same age. All she knows is this spirit entity is trying to connect with his father. So I found out that fishing pole didn't apply to my side, but it applied to his stepfather.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of how the spirit world works. But I didn't find that out till time later as my story goes on.
Right.
So anyhow, after the reading, I went home. You know, I couldn't work anymore, and I just went home, played it for my wife, and we moved on. There's a lot of stuff now that happened after this phone reading, which was, I think, on a Thursday, over the weekend prior to my going to her seminar on Monday. So we went to the seminar on Monday. We did not have a reading, but I saw what it is like to sit in there and feel what everybody feels with the energy around, or your family coming through, your sons or your daughters, and just the tears. They just...
Yeah, pretty emotional.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, and the people around me that were getting it, I'm just crying as much as they are just listening to their story. Well,
right.
We walked out. My wife was disappointed because nothing happened. I said, listen, we still have the phone reading. I said, we're lucky to have that. So the very next day, I'm sitting alone. I think it was in my den or something, and I'm replaying the tape just to listen to it once again, because a lot of times you replay a tape, you miss things. And as I'm playing it, I'm looking down at what I wrote, 8:36 and /24-9 for the times. And then all of a sudden it hit me. I get the goosebumps and the feelings. I said, oh, geez. I might use another word, but for the radio, I'll say, oh, geez.
Uh-huh.
I read it backwards, 9:24-68. That's his birthday.
Right, exactly.
The 3 and the 9 are in there. 3 representing March. 9
right.
and 3 put it together, 19, meaning 93.
Right.
When he died, the only number there missing was the 14.
Uh-huh.
Well, my brother came to town about a month later, and through a simple formula that is shown in the book, we found the missing number, 14.
Uh-huh.
Well, about a month after he left, my wife and I are sitting up watching John Edward. There's a break, and I just kind of ask her. I said, you know, it would have been a good validation from Suzanne if she could have mentioned my favorite number was Sean. She goes, yeah, it would have been. I said, well, you don't even remember what it was. I just teach it. She goes, yes, I do. I go, what? She said, 29 at roulette. You and Sean play that constantly.
Uh-huh.
And I said, very good. Not more than 5 seconds passed. I've got a giant TV screen in my living room. There was some ad they were displaying that we have never seen in, what's it been now, four years probably, advertising a product for $29.95, and that 29 filled the entire screen.
Gotcha.
And 95 cents, if you add that together, you'll notice with my number theory in the book, adds up to 14, one of the biggest numbers.
Right.
The hairs on my whole body stood up, and I looked at her. I said, did you just see that? And she goes, yeah. So right away, it says, good evening, son. How you doing? I'm glad you're around listening. It's a good feeling.
Now,
that started my number theory, where I started being aware of certain things like that that were leading me in a certain direction, which it did. The book is written in two parts. Part one is finding my son, which I do. And the second part is our journey together to let people know that life truly exists after death, and you don't need a medium in your life to have contact with your loved ones. That's what the book is all about. You know, if you can heighten your psychic and spiritual awareness yourself, eventually you can have what you were talking about at the beginning of the show and what I'm talking about now, these various things, as long as you're aware of this. And mine is not only numbers. Mine is like yours also. There's blue butterfly stories in there, license plate stories, just different things like that. But I still have readings with mediums, which I'll tell in just a second.
Right.
Why do I do that? Because I feel I can help other people, which means if I know somebody, you know, like one of my wife's friends, we just had a reading a while back, and we were to tell her husband that he needs to get to the doctor to get his heart checked because of certain things. And the way she was leading up to describing this person, it just fit his personality. The wife and things like that. So we knew who it was and whose husband it was.
Huh.
You know, so we delivered that message. And, you know, once you deliver it, that's it.
Certainly.
You know, you can't do anything else.
Anything else. Once you act as a messenger, it's no longer yours.
Right.
Absolutely.
Now,
I think that's absolutely fabulous. So So this story, and you know, you said in here also that you were getting messages from your son. You were getting things like books to be written, and you do have a book and another one, what, coming out later on?
Yeah, there's another one I'm working on right now, which is a continuation. It's called Messages from the Next World, His Signature. And his signature basically is the number 39, like I talked about.
Uh-huh.
And that was kind of brought up at a seminar reading also, because I was going in the direction at that time. My book started as, it was a journal, just notes. And then I thought, this is too important. I need to share this. And from a journal, it was just going to be a short story that I wanted to share with a certain medium.
Right.
Where she could take a couple short stories from some other people that I'm sure had different stories, and she could weave it together into a book of her own.
Uh-huh.
Well, her publishing company didn't like that idea, and I was made aware at a seminar that, you know, on different things that was said after the seminar, I started thinking, I go, wait a minute, maybe this book is supposed to be our story.
Right. Okay.
You know, and once that set into my mind,
uh-huh.
Then I had to take my short story, which was written in two parts, no
uh-huh.
chapters. It was about 80 pages, and I said, okay, well, if it's going to be a book, then I got to make chapters out of this stuff. Now, how am I going to do that? So I sat down, divided that up in what I thought were chapters and named the chapters,
right.
And then I started rewriting. And you wouldn't believe how your mind feels when the Spirit is helping you.
Oh, and absolutely. And here's another aspect. When you start doing things from a selfless standpoint, for example, out of the love that you and your son have and selflessness and sharing with others, Spirit or God steps in to smooth the way and to bring things about in a way that is miraculous. It's a miracle, isn't it?
Oh, God. I went from 80 pages to 120 pages to 140 pages, and
wow.
It wound up at 250 pages. It's actually 236 pages of readable text.
Right.
And then the way the publishers do, they add every page in there. But what had happened now, I advertise this book where people will see it's called Uniquely Written from Beyond the Grave by My Deceased Son and Co-Authored in This World.
Right.
And when I sent the book in for publishing, when they were working on the cover, all the cover had on it was Dennis Spaulding. It's My Search for the Afterlife, Trail of Clues by Dennis Spaulding, because the book was about my son, thought nothing about it.
Right.
Well, while it was still at the publisher, now this is explained at the very beginning of book number two, because
right.
My Search for the Afterlife stops at a certain point. It's written in chronological order. So whatever happens this month or this month of that year, my story goes from there, and it just keeps going there. And sometimes I will backpedal a little bit so people realize when I'm reminiscing about something, things like that. Well, I had a reading while the book was still at the publisher, and the gentleman lived in Fort Myers, Florida, and I live in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
The only thing this gentleman knew about me was my name was Dennis Spaulding. I wanted a one-hour phone reading on a Saturday, and my wife would be on the phone.
Right.
That's it. 4 days before the reading, I'm standing in my bathroom looking at a tube of Crest toothpaste flattened out.
Right.
I toss it in the wastebasket. I got two vials of Colgate toothpaste upside down draining. Now, my thought at the time, inward, not outward, I just thought, well, I hope my wife, Wanda, has toothpaste in her bathroom or I'm going to have to go to the store and buy some.
Right.
That's just my thought. 2 days before the seminar, I'm at a grocery store, Albertsons, I think it was, and I see a big line over at the meat counter, and I go over there. Well, everything's half price. So having not done this in over 3 years, I load up my cart with, you know, all the meats and everything to freeze in the freezer. Well, Saturday comes. It's my son coming through with my mother and a bunch of other people. And partway through the medium, he goes, your son wants to call you Sam, and my name's Dennis. He wants to call you Sam. I go, Sam? He goes, yeah, you know, Sam, like Sam the Butcher on the old Brady Bunch movie. Does that mean anything? I start laughing. I said, well, I was just at the meat market the other day. He said, well, he was probably there shopping with you. I'll take that as a validation. I says, fine, okay. So more stuff comes through on and on. And then he says, this doesn't make sense what he's telling me, so I'm just going to tell you what I'm hearing. That's okay. He says, he wants you to go to the store, buy some toothpaste. It doesn't matter whether it's Crest or Colgate. Does that mean something? you know, I'm really freaking now. My hairs are standing. My wife goes, no, that don't mean nothing. I said, yes, it does. He goes, really? I said, trust me, you're good.
Yeah.
I said, somebody's reading my thoughts. It was in that bathroom with me. So I'm believing it's my son, but you're good. Move on. He said, you're serious? I said, yes. Pat yourself on the back, give yourself a cookie, and let's go. And so more stuff comes out, and then all of a sudden he goes, are you writing a book? Now this gets me and my wife. And I go, yes. He says, well, your son wants to know why his name isn't on the front cover in front of your name since he's given you all of this information.
Huh.
Well, I start defending my honor. You know, I start backpedaling and going, no, wait a second. The whole book's about him. It's about this and about that and yada, yada, yada. I'm going on and on. Then I hear him laughing a little bit. And I said, okay, what's going on? He says, well, while you were defending your honor, he says, I asked your son psychically, was he serious about all this stuff he was saying? And he said, no, I'm just busting my dad's chops. I did that when I was alive, and why stop now that I'm dead?
The sense of humor.
That is his sense of humor coming across, and I knew then that is my son to a T, stuff like that. Oh. And that validates how this information is continual through him.
What we are also saying, Dennis, with all of this, is that when people pass over or they go through the transition, they do keep their own personality.
Definitely,
definitely. They are still there.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that they suddenly become, you know, flapping saints or something, but there is the humor, the knowledge, and the awareness that comes through that helps them make life easier for us. And I think that's very important, that everyone who has lost someone that they have truly loved should be aware of that the person who loves you is there with you. Grieving too much is not a good thing, because we go through a normal standard, and you can read Dr. Kubler-Ross's book.
Right, that was good. Death and Dying, I think, is what you're going to say.
Death and Dying,
yeah.
And Raymond Moody. And
right.
There are the five stages. However, each person is individual. Some take a short period of time, and some people take years, and some people never give over. And that's sad, because when you don't allow yourself to become aware of how beautiful it is that you can still communicate, how aware it is that they are around you from time to time, you are not alone, you are still loved, and you're still family.
Definitely.
And it's important for people to understand this, and this is what I think part of what you're sharing is, too, in your own inimitable way, is that we can each of us devise our own way. For me, it's naked ladies.
right.
And for you, it's a certain number, 29 and 14. And as I was mentioning to you, sometimes when I am feeling particularly alone, I see the number 444 repeated. And as I mentioned to you, 444 stands for the angels.
Right.
And when you see that, know that your angels are beside you. But being aware and not feeling sorry for yourself, coming out and reaching out of yourself and your sorrow, is the part of the healing process that's so important for you to reconnect. Is that not correct?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Okay.
And what I want to tell the people, mine isn't always numbers. I mean, I'll give them an easy number example. This one's in the book.
Right.
And then I'll give them one that happened right after the book that'll be in book number two that shows how my journey is just expanding outward for more signs and more signs.
Right.
But Sean died March 14th, so the number 314 is important.
Right.
I belong to Clan Murray, the Scottish Highlander clans, Clan Murray. I'm a Spalding, so I'm a Sept. And we were going up north to the Billingham games a couple years ago, and it was on a Saturday. It was just a one-day event. And we didn't want to drive up that morning with another couple to put the tent up and everything. We decided to drive up a day early and have dinner that night, spend the night at a motel, get the stuff up that day. Then on Saturday, the tent's already put up and you're just ready to go. You got your kilt on and all the good stuff. So I made reservations for a hotel about 3 months in advance. And the only thing I told them was, we're going to arrive early, around 10 or 11, and I don't want to wait till a 3 o'clock check-in. I want my room right away.
Right.
That's all I said. The day before leaving down here where we live, I spoke to Sean. I said, son, why don't you come up to the games with us? You never saw your dad wearing a kilt in real life. Come on up. You can laugh, whatever you want to do. Listen to the bagpipes. Watch the dancing girls. We'll have a good time together. Well, we drive up there. I check in. The gentleman said, Mr. Spaulding, we've got your room already. I says, good. We're tired. And he hands me a room key. Room 314.
Wow.
Now, I invited him. What better way for my son to say, hi, Dad, I'm here, let's go.
Right.
When I got that key, I started making noises and a few things, and he looked at me and said, you okay? We got plenty of rooms available. I can give you another room. I said, you've done just fine. Thank you very much. Now, the other story is last year in October, almost a year ago, the movie Just Like Heaven came out with Reese Witherspoon and Mark Ruffalo, I think his name was. She had supposedly died, and Mark was renting her apartment flat, or trying to.
Right.
And she came back in a haunting way during this, and it was a love story between the afterlife and this life, and, I mean, that's what they were leading you to believe.
Right, right.
Well, we come walking out of that movie. I had gone with my wife and a couple friends, and my son is buried in Warrior, Alabama. He's close to his mom. That she wanted him close to her, and I agreed, even though I'm way on the other side of the country, but I send flowers
right
to his gravesite twice a year through a florist lady that I met down there when I went back for her funeral.
Yeah.
Her name is Carlene. I'm going to give her a plug. And it's Carlene Florist in Warrior, Alabama. And this lady, since 1993, has been delivering the flowers to his gravesite personally, taking pictures for me and everything all of this time, just out of the kindness of her heart.
That's beautiful.
Oh, God.
I
can't thank her enough. Well, anyhow, as we walk out of the theater, my wife goes, oh, look at the car in front of us. I said, what about it? See, she's observant, too. After all this stuff with me, she's getting very aware of things herself.
Sure.
And she goes, look at the license plate. The car's from Alabama. I says, oh, really? I step back and look, and she says, how many cars from Alabama do you see in Seattle? And I go, not many, to be honest. So I wrote down a little bit of information like I do on anything when something happens. When the chills run up and down me, I know something that has happened. I call it an event.
Yeah, that's called confirmation,
you know?
Absolutely.
Right. And so I just thought about that. The very next day, my wife and I were going out to the fairgrounds here just south of us. They were putting on the Oktoberfest here.
Right.
And so we were just going out together, and we went out, spent the day. And as we come back to the parking lot, I start to get into my car, and then I remember what happened the night before. And I go, I wonder. Step back out, walk around the back, and I look at the car next to us. It's another car with Alabama plates, but it's got an expiration tag on it for March.
Huh.
Sean died March, and he's buried in Alabama. I look up. I said,
Wow.
Yeah, I said, hi, son. And it was like him saying, I enjoyed the movie about heaven, Dad, and I enjoyed being with you at the fair. Have a good day. And it just, a smile just went across my face, my wife's face, as we drove home, just to be there, to sense that and feel that. And we both go, wow. So that's a way, if people just broaden out their psychic, spiritual, and awareness, once they can develop this, there's more and more signs that, I am so blocked with the earthly things like my bills and how am I going to pay for all of these ads for the book and all this stuff.
Right.
I am probably blocking out a lot of simple signs and hellos and things like that, you know, that are coming to me or that I'm missing. You know, so once I can, that's why a lot of times I meditate and stuff like that. And I said, I just need to get these things out of my, you know, thoughts so I can just open it up and be, you know, go through my days and just, you know, see what happens. I'm not looking for things. People might think, well, if you look for something long enough, you're going to find it. I said, well, that's true. I said, I've got a blue butterfly story. I said, when I finally brought Sean's mother into what was going on about writing the book and different things going on there, we talked quite a lot. That's how I learned about the fishing pole, you know, a couple of years later, about they loved to go fishing. They went night fishing. A lot of the stuff in that first reading over the phone, she started validating. Well, one of the things she told me at the end of our conversation was every time she goes to Sean's gravesite, there's this blue butterfly that flies around her. And she takes that as Sean, she called him Shawnee, saying, hi, Mom, I'm fine, and I'm in a happy place. Because Sean loved the color blue, and he loved butterflies. Well, I wrote in the book, after I wrote that little story in the book, I wrote, well, when I see the blue butterfly in the Pacific Northwest, then I'll know Sean's up here around me. Well, this was in February 26 or whatever it was of 1 year. About 13 months later, I'm on my way home from work, and I stop at Starbucks at the top of the hill.
Right.
And like I said, this is a story that I'm not looking for anything. This is something that just happens. Well, as I get out of the car, I notice two college-age girls sitting out there having a cup of coffee. One has her back to me, and her midriff is bared. And now I am looking, you know, because I see a tattoo of a giant blue butterfly.
There's your blue butterfly, huh?
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, wow, how original, son. Thank you. But I look, and my acknowledgement is, good afternoon, son. How you doing? I walk into this coffee shop. I get my coffee. I come out. The girls are gone. I go, wow. So like anything, I write the stuff down. I go back home. I relook at my notes. I said, okay, when did I talk with his mom last year? And it was 13 months earlier. Like I said, it was February 26th. Well, this was March 26th. 13 months later, and I'm going, my mind's going again. Now, okay, I've got something I'm working with because I keep notes all the time. Okay, a month later, I arrive at work. I walk into my office at the tower, and there's a lawn ornament, a giant blue butterfly.
Aww.
On my desk. First thing, good morning, son. How you doing? Next thing, okay, who put this here? I go upstairs, and our cleaning lady, who I got to know really good because hearing my story and my talks and everything I've been doing, prior to her dad's death, they never got along. He died, and they were on the outs. Well, we started talking and sharing stories, and I was helping her reconnect with her dad through my story. And she was just about making this 180-degree turn,
right.
You know, where now she wants to find her dad and stuff like that. That's a story is in the book, and it follows up in book number two with added stuff.
Right.
However, she had been paying attention in our classes, let's say. I walk upstairs, and I says, did you put that on my desk downstairs? She goes, yeah. I says, why? She said, what do you mean, why? I said, why'd you put it there? She says, the blue butterfly, you know, the story, Sean, mom seeing it at the cemetery, and then you seeing it at Starbucks, and yada, yada, yada. Well, she never knew the numbers of the 26. Well, I stood there for a second. I said, oh, okay, I'm glad you were paying attention in class. Good for you. Then I told her about what I found out the previous month, about the days, 26, matching, and 13 months apart. Then I walk downstairs, get something out of my office, come back upstairs into the tower cabin. She's sitting there looking at me, staring. I said, what's wrong? She says, well, I told you that I went to the store over the weekend, and I saw the butterfly. I said, yeah. And she says, at first, I didn't buy it. I just saw it. I recognized it. I thought of Sean, and I moved on. She says, I came back a couple of days later, and I was compelled to buy this. She says, literally compelled. I had to buy that for you.
Uh-huh.
I says, yeah. And she says, that was Monday, the 26th. And I says, oh, really?
Yeah.
So after she leaves, I'm looking at this again. I've got February 26th, March 26th, and April 26th. My little mind starts turning. I go, okay, I've got three events happen, one in February, one in March, one in April.
Okay.
Now, 26, if you add 2 and 6 together, that makes 8 times 3 events makes 24. That's the day my son was born. If you take February, which is the second month, March is the third, April is the fourth, that adds up to 9. That's the month he was born, 9/24 in my butterfly story. Now, you take the next month, May. Now, I'm not planning this. This is just happening. I only see it once this is all done. So I'm doing a crossword puzzle, or not a crossword puzzle. It's one of these old word puzzles, and the answer was something beautiful. Needless to say, the answer comes out butterfly. So I just kind of wrote that in my book also. But I looked at my formula I just told you about, and I added up the months again. If you took February for 2, March for 3, April for 4, and May for 5, those 4 months then total number 14 to end the butterfly story, so I thought. But the butterfly story hasn't gone away, and it's become part of our everyday occurrence. It has transferred over to other people, radio stations where I've had contact with disc jockeys there, and they go, you know, knowing you're coming on and I heard about this blue butterfly, you know how many blue butterfly signs I've been seeing on trucks, on cars, and advertisement? And I said, that's my son letting you know he's around and things like that. So it isn't always numbers. It just keeps evolving into other things and combinations. And it's just, like I said, your story of once you can find this, it's just, you just can't believe it. You know, just makes you. And we try to tell this story to let people know that, yes, there is grief. I understand your grief more than anybody. And even on a radio station, I said, years after his death, my buttons can be pushed. On my very first radio interview on a Seattle station here, they said something, and I was right back sitting in that chair in 1993. I let loose, and they had to cover for me for about a minute and a half before I could recover and regain my composure so I could talk. It affects you that much when you lose a child. You can live and move on with your life and so forth. They are always in your thoughts, but you can be brought back to that place and that moment in time very quickly. But it's because of the strength in this that my son's given me that we push on. And every time I talk, it's our story. It's him and I together. We want to help people move on with their grief to take that next step.
Okay. So that is fairly wonderful. And again, let me give you the name of this book is My Search for the Afterlife. By Sean, that's S-E-A-N, and Dennis Spalding, S-P-A-L-D-I-N-G. I'm sure you can buy it at any bookstore. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're not stocked in the bookstore, but they can order them at any bookstore. They can go to my website or online at Barnes and Nobles or Amazon.com.
Please give your website.
Yeah, my website is www.mysearchfortheafterlife.com. That's mysearchfortheafterlife.com.
Uh-huh.
And on there also is a publisher's website, authorhouse.com. And if you go through authorhouse.com, I think you save a couple bucks on each book, whether it's the hardcover or the softcover. You're not paying as much on the AuthorHouse website as you do on Amazon or on Barnes & Noble. But anybody that wants a book, you can go to any major bookstore. Tell them the name of the book to pull it up on the computer, and the soft cover normally comes quicker than the hardcover. The hardcover takes a little bit longer to order, but some people are picky and they want a hardcover versus a soft cover.
Yes, I understand. I wanted also, anybody listening who wants to share a story of their confirmation and their unique way where the person that they loved had died and has come back, please call in and talk to us at 877-876-5227. We are interested in hearing the different ways that people have been able to communicate with those who have passed on. Often there are dreams. Sometimes there are visitations of being awake in bed. Sometimes it's just catching someone out of the corner of your eye. But each person, I think, has a story. Or if you have a question, please feel free to call. Again, also, I have an email, and so it's Pricer, psychicworlds4@aol.com, or you can reach me at area code 202-387-2080. This is, again, we talked about death in the last couple of weeks. Dennis, you may not have known that, but I had a beloved dog I had to put down, and
I was
able to talk about here and share with the audience of how much pets mean. And how dear they are to us. They're not children, but in some places, in some ways, they do take the place of children when we don't have them.
Definitely.
And how loving and caring it is. And the way people, identify with their pets, sometimes the pets will come back in another body. Sometimes, you know, the souls come back in a fairly recent manner, too. But it's just interesting to share with others about the afterlife, because so much is not known. And as you say, you've had classes, and it didn't help you. With all the religious answers, it kind of left you open with an open wound, did it not?
Oh, definitely.
And you sought another way of confirming and seeking, and I can equate with you. I was raised as a Catholic, too, but I've seen dead people, quote-unquote, all my life. I've been aware of people who've died and passed on, And for me, it was just something I realized really early on that perhaps I shouldn't talk about because people kind of gave you funny looks in those days. Not that they don't still give you funny looks today.
Right. Now, speaking of that, on the funny looks people give you for believing this way,
yeah.
If people go to my website,
yeah.
You're going to find it's called The Cemetery on the Internet. I call
right.
it The Garden of Flowers. This
right.
is something free.
I wanted you to mention that because I think that's a lovely, lovely thing to do. Go ahead.
Right. This is something that's free. You don't have to buy a book. There's right. a email on my website you can use, or you can use this one that I get rather quickly. It's D as in Dennis, W as in Wanda, T as in Tom, L as in Larry, S as in Spalding, my last name, at AIM.com. That's A as in Albert, I as in India, M as in Mike, .com.
As in AIM. Okay.
Right, AIM.com. Now, you go there and you send me the name of your loved one. I send it right away to my webmaster to be put on that list. And in the comfort of your own home, away from any critics, even your husband or your wife,
or
kids or whatever, you pull up my website, you listen to the pan flute music by a gentleman called Wyra, who loved my website so much he gave me permission to use it, and his song, Wind Beneath My Wings. You
Beautiful.
Sit there, you watch the waterfall open up, you pan down to where the name of your loved one is at. There's a beautiful flower picture right below everything.
Uh-huh.
You look at your loved one's name, and you can open up that suitcase in your mind filled with what you want to say or didn't have a chance to say to your loved one. Let's
right.
say your dad was dying in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
You were rushing to get there. You got held up in the traffic jam. You got there 10 minutes too late.
Right.
You didn't say those last words. And for the past 5 years, you just eat yourself up inside because you haven't had a chance to relate.
Right.
Well,
right,
you can
right.
sit here. And you can talk to your dad 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, whenever you need it, and let this out. And hopefully you're going to sense your dad around you, letting you know he sees you, he hears you, and he gives you that comforting psychic hug. And now you're able to move forward. You're able to take
right.
that next step. I'm working with somebody in Australia now that his dad, a lot of abuse. And I've got him. We just became friends just, I would say, 2 weeks ago because he found my website, and he asked me a question, and we started emailing back and forth.
Right.
He has taken a 180-degree turn, just like the lady at work. He
uh-huh.
has now listened to some of the stuff I have said, and he says he has had the best sleep in the past couple nights that he has had in years. He says people down there just treat him as a freak or something because he's like within his shell and stuff like that and still worried about this or what dad did to him and stuff like that. So, but through
yeah.
our talks and everything.
A long time, this kind of psychic dysfunction and this pain.
Oh, yeah. But he wrote back and said he wanted his dad's name up there, and it's been up there now for about 3 or 4 days. He just wrote me back and says he's had some wonderful talks with his dad. He says, this is marvelous. He said, this
wonderful.
Is helping me out. And that's what it's designed to do. Anything we can do to help people that are grieving to move forward for that next step so you can enjoy what you're enjoying, you know, with your mom, what I'm enjoying with my son, anything
uh-huh.
we can do to help.
Well, you know, too, I'm a hypnotherapist, and there's something that we call talking with loved ones, and we learned this in hypnotherapy. There are the unresolved issues, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but it's possible through the use of hypnotherapy to contact on the spirit plane through your subconscious, through hypnotherapy session, that person who has passed on, and to be able to ask questions and to resolve differences about why this or that was done. And usually it has to do with, very often it has to do with abuse issues that were left highly unresolved.
Right.
That people cannot get past. But it does work, and I wondered if you had, as I said, you've gone through a lot of different phases, but this is one way to literally reach out and meet someone through the use of hypnotherapy, to talk to them, to help resolve this issue and understand why they were the way they were towards you, and to ask for forgiveness, and to seek forgiveness for yourself, and to give forgiveness to them, because you see, once we pass this life plane, there is a great deal of regret for those who have now become aware, as it were, on the other side, and they are painfully aware of what they did that caused so much grief and sorrow to the families left on. Have you ever come across that yourself?
Well, in my life, I did experience child abuse, but it wasn't within family. It was
okay.
You know, well, it was outside that, and I have never chose to confront that, you know, that individual. I mean, that was way back in my younger days in the past, where, but I have been able to talk about that with some people that has kind of helped me get through
it. There was, for example, we're talking about when there's alcoholism in the family.
Right.
Okay. When there is emotional abuse or verbal abuse or
physical abuse.
Yes, yeah, that type of thing. And it's okay for sexual abuse also, but I was thinking more on the fact that there are many people who do not resolve their anger issues and or understand and have a hard time coping with life as itself, because once a family member has passed on, whomever it may have been, they are unable to continue resolve it, so they hold it close to them and they continue walk what I call the wounded.
Right.
So the wounded child. And I was just wondering, because this is, and I'm letting my listeners know this, this is another wonderful way to open up, and once you allow this to be forgiven, the healing can begin between you and the parent or the child or the person who's passed on. Because it's all about healing and forgiving and becoming aware of the tremendous love that exists beyond this plane and beyond. And this is why I brought it up, because I know I've worked with people where a parent passed on, and the child still had unresolved issues. And we had a meeting, arranged a meeting in a hypnotherapy session, and she was able to speak with, in this instance, her father, and to clarify issues of how he treated her and why he treated her the way he did, and the forgiveness that was there, and the release that came, because for her it was a true meeting of the two on a different plane.
Right.
Because we do meet souls on different planes. But this is also a forgiveness. Anyway, that's just something that's an aside, and I didn't mean to bring up an issue that I was not aware of for you, by the way.
No, that's okay.
But, you know, but this was just one where another way of accessing.
Right. There was an issue that was brought up by a medium, which is, I'll make it real quick. I had a reading just April,
okay,
and this shows how my journey now continues on a different.